the sheriff's office, of course, you know, we have the jail there in the two double doors on Franklin Street. It would be the from our jail, the building, it would be the on the side, the I guess that would be the south side of our jail. There's two big garage doors, overhead doors. They're called Sally Ports. Every police department in the county, the state police, our deputies, whenever they have a suspect that they're going to bring into the jail, they have to come through the Sally Port doors there. And it's the way that the jail is set up, configured, the dispatcher has control of opening that door. And what they do when a officer will get on the radio and call dispatch to ask them to open the Sally Port door that they're bringing in a prisoner. So they'll open up the door, and once their vehicle is inside, then they close that door. And then there's another door, an entryway to get into the booking area. It's locked too. So I would like to explain, being a dispatcher is one of the most difficult jobs in law enforcement. And they have a lot of things going on, and especially with our jail. You know, I don't want to make any excuses, but, you know, it's a jail that was built in the 70s. But anyhow, the dispatcher is in control of that. She's answering phone calls coming in for service. She's monitoring the cameras in the jail. She's also responsible for anybody coming to the front door area. So what happened on last Sunday evening, about, I think it was about 8:28 p.m., one of our deputies had arrested an individual who was involved in a domestic, had brought the individual into the jail and had completed the process, dropped the individual off to the correctional officers there. So he goes back and gets in his squad car, and the dispatcher opens up the door to the Sally Port so he can back out to go continue his duties on patrol. So he backs out, the door is open, and the door is left open for about 30 seconds. She is getting a bunch of other calls coming in at that time. So there's a lot of things going on. So while that door is open for 30 seconds, she did not see the individual walking up into the door, but there was an individual who we later identified as James Lindsay. He's a from rural Taylorville here, age 46, walked in into the Sally Port area. After he got in, and after like 30 seconds the door was open, she closed the door. The dispatcher closed the door. And shortly after closing the door, it was secured. The individual had walked in, Mr. Lindsay, pressed the intercom. There's an intercom by the door to get into the booking area. He presses the intercom button. The dispatcher believes, and the lighting's not the best, the dispatcher believes that it was a correctional officer wanting to get back into the booking area. So she opens that door so they can get, this individual can get into the booking area. Mr. Lindsay walks in. He's dressed. He has a sports jacket on. He's got some material with him. I think it was a Bible and a couple of other books. And he's told our correctional officer that he was an attorney for Christina Lindsay, who had been in our jail since, I think it was, she was booked in Saturday morning by the Taylorville Police Department. She had been arrested by the Taylorville Police Department. But he stated he was an attorney for her and that he wished to speak to her. So our correctional officer put Mr. Lindsay in the consultation room where all the attorneys come in to speak with their clients. So after he was in the consultation room, our correctional officer went and got Christina Lindsay out of the cell block and then took her into the consultation room. And then immediately the correctional officer overheard some discussions from Mrs. Lindsay and it was determined that she didn't want him there. So the correctional officer immediately called for a deputy. Within a couple minutes, a deputy was arrived and came into the jail and was able to determine, got the identification from Mr. Lindsay, and request proof of that he was an attorney. He told our deputy several times that he was attorney here to see Mrs. Lindsay. He could not produce anything that showed that he was an attorney. So the deputy then asked him to get outside of the jail area. He went out into the lobby area, and the more the deputy spoke with him, it was determined that Mr. Lindsay was under the influence. He asked him to blow in the breathalyzer, which he did, and it was determined he was above the legal limit to drive, so the deputy requested him to call somebody to pick him up, and that's what happened. As we reviewed more of the incident and looked at the videos and realized what had happened, Mr. Lindsay's car was parked on the parking lot just to the south of the Sallyport doors. And Mr. Lindsay came in the next morning about 8 o'clock into the jail to again consult with Mrs. Lindsay. He wanted to. And at that time, we had already made contact with the state's attorney and discussed the situation with him, and he advised that we could go ahead and charge Mr. Lindsay with criminal trespass to state-owned property, which we did. And Mr. Lindsay was then booked. His bond was set, and I think he posted $150 cash bond and was released. So now we're just that's pretty much the story. Again, I can't overemphasize enough how stressful a job it is to be a dispatcher. And it's very difficult for us to find good qualified people that want to be a dispatcher. And especially here in Christian County, we don't pay them a whole lot. I wish we could pay them a lot more. So it's very hard to hire good qualified dispatchers. This dispatcher that made the mistake is one of our best dispatchers. She feels absolutely terrible about it. We are looking into different procedures, security procedures that we can do. We already ordered. We're going to put new lighting in the area where the intercom is at. The lighting wasn't the best for her to see that it was a male in a jacket. It wasn't the best. It's an unfortunate mistake that happened, but mistakes do happen. I make mistakes all the time, I think the dispatchers learned from it. I think we've all learned from it, and, we're going to do some things different, I can't overemphasize how much this dispatcher that made a mistake feels really bad about it, but I'm totally supportive of her and behind her all the way because she's a very good one, and we don't want to lose her.
And this isn't, the rumors that came out originally were that, well, if somebody can get in, somebody can get out. But that's going to be really, really difficult given the situation of how it's set up.
Right. Again, there's no way anybody could have got out, could have escaped. Now, the individual that came in, could he have had a weapon and could have something bad happen? Yes. But there was, the correctional officer knew right away that something was wrong, called a deputy in right away. It was stopped pretty quick, a matter of minutes. So, like I said, there was a mistake made. We're going to make some corrections. But no, as far as anybody getting out, all the inmates were locked in their individual cell blocks. We have 9 different cell blocks, individual cell blocks. It's not like they're roaming around. No, they're all locked in their individual cell blocks. So it would have been very difficult for it. There's no way they would have been able to get out of the building because, like I said, the Sallyport door was closed. And all the other doors were closed. There's no way that anybody would have been able to get out. So that's pretty much it.